Hello, Joel.
Hey, Michael. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. How are you, my friend?
Great. We have a wonderful call tonight. I want to let people know this is actually the last call of the month. Next week, Dave and Amy will be on the phone. We want to mention a few things about the Apothecary special, the Apothecary deal, which you probably won't see again. It's where you buy 2 Apothecaries and receive 1 for free, which I just
which is a killer deal, we all know. Killer deal.
It enables you to actually give one away to a family, a friend, a possible prospect, which is great. And it's my favorite product, believe it or not, in the whole entire line next to the Kamut. You know, the Kamut's my favorite as a green product, and the cherry is my favorite as a fruit.
Well, the Apothecary is definitely probably the tastiest product we have that also happens to have such good nutritional benefits. It's hard for anyone to turn it down. In fact, a lot of people take more than they should, because it tastes so good.
I mean, I put
it
on...
Or that they need to. I shouldn't say should. In other words, they take more than they really have to, but they just love it.
Yeah, I put it on just about everything. The recent use for the Apothecary I've been doing is making a vinaigrette, a really great cherry vinaigrette.
Oh, cool.
You see raspberry vinaigrettes and stuff.
Yeah.
Just use a high-quality olive oil with a little bit of the Apothecary, and just you can mix some other stuff in there, fresh garlic or minced,
Do you put any vinegar in, too?
Sometimes I'll use some apple cider vinegar.
Yep, that's perfect.
You know, I love using the apple cider vinegar. But balsamic I'll use a little bit. I do different, whatever I'm in the mood for.
Well, apple cider vinegar, raw apple cider vinegar, raw honey, and a little of the cherry juice together is quite delicious.
Right.
As a drink. Very, very good for hot days.
Yep. So wanted to also mention we have the launch of the Pure Planet Oasis outside
retreat.
Of Lake Isabella in California, which is, I would have to say, my favorite retreat.
And you and I have both been there, and it's a wonderful place.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going back. So we have so much to cover tonight, Michael. I don't even know where to start.
Well, I know, Joel. We have so much good stuff to share with people. There's never the time, but we just plow through what we can.
That's it. Let's start out by talking about our favorite food, green food.
Right. That's a good idea.
The hottest and most popular question that always comes in to me, actually, with clients and friends that use the green drink is, why do I need to buy it from Dave's company, Pure? Either the health food store of Pure Planet or with PHP, with Purium within the organization, compared to what's in the health food store and what we have, because that's like just my brother, for example, actually ran out of the Scuba Greens and went to the health food store and bought, another similar green product and was not happy with it. So not only that, but let's talk about what some of the ingredients, why we're special and they're not, and price.
Right, well, I think that I like you, Joel, I get this kind of question a lot, and one of the most popular questions that pops up for me is, I go to the health food store and they have a juice bar and I buy a shot of fresh wheatgrass juice, maybe 3 times a week. So isn't that better than using, say, your barley juice or your Kamut? And I say, well, I'm not going to say it's like comparing an apple to a cucumber. It's really completely different. And the reason it's so different is that when you're growing the tray-grown variety, if you happen to be staying at Hippocrates or Optimum Health Institute and you do it the way Ann Wigmore originally taught people, it's a pretty decent product because they are using a very, very complex soil amendment program. And even though it's only growing for about 14 days, which is double the time that you mostly find stuff that's grown in stores, it's going to be more nutritious. But pretty nearly all the tray-grown products that are available for fresh juice is going to be very, very shallow in terms of nutrient content. And it makes sense because, number one, in 7 days, you just don't get that kind of uptake from the nutrients that are in that soil matrix. And number two, that soil matrix isn't that sophisticated, and they're just trying to grow it fast. And so what they end up with is a product that can grow very quickly that has a very high sugar content.
Right.
Obviously, it has a very high chlorophyll content. There's no question about that. And it's going to have a lot of enzymes. I'm not going to tell you it's no good. But a lot of people who drink this stuff will call up and say, I do it because they tell me it's good for me, but it sort of makes me nauseous. And they say, why is that? And I said, well, it's because it's got a lot of sugar and it's got the chlorophyll. And you mix sugar and chlorophyll together, and it can be pretty nauseating.
Yeah, so let me ask you something.
Yeah.
A couple of times I've been in some health food stores, and actually one friend of mine actually owns in Brooklyn, and I turned over the grass, you know, the whole bed of grass.
And moldy.
It was filled, yeah, not only moldy, filled like layers of mold.
Yep, that's very common. I'm glad you brought that up. That's very common in any kind of tray-grown product, even sprouts. You know, if you're going to grow your own alfalfa or clover sprouts at home, you really have to be careful because it's very easy to get mold on the roots. So that's another problem because they are exposed to so much air.
Am I drinking that?
I'm not.
Just wanted to know.
Yeah. Now, with when you have the barley juice, our Kamut, or any of the other green products that we have that contain those raw materials, you're getting a cereal grass juiced that has been grown throughout an entire growing season, like 3-4 months. So now, with the shallow tray, Joel, the grass grows very quickly to 6-7 inches within 4 or 5 days. Because the roots have no place to go. All right, but when you grow this in the ground and the soil is very rich in nutrients, and ours is because it's a past volcanic soil bed, that the roots naturally will go down before the plant comes out of the ground, which means that those little roots are going to find every nutrient that is in there, and it's going to take it up into its matrix. And those nutrients are going to be used to grow first that young cereal grass so it becomes rich with chlorophyll, so the photosynthesis process takes place. And once that happens, those nutrients are going to be so dense in that little green stem that plant is then going to be ready, if we let it, which we don't, to grow a cellulose stalk that would then support the barley or the wheat or, you know, whatever you happen to be growing, oats or whatever. So in other words, we are harvesting the product right before what's called jointing. Jointing is when the little cellulose stalk transforms itself, when the little leaf transforms itself into a cellulose stalk to support the weight of growing another couple feet up in the air.
Okay.
So we're harvesting it right before that, which means that little grass is at its absolute maximum nutritional place in history. And you cannot get it to be more nutritional than it is right at that moment. And that's when it's immediately juiced and then vacuum dried at 88 degrees, so it's still enzyme active. So you're still getting enzymes, you're still getting lots of chlorophyll, and you're getting lots of nutrients that you're not finding in the product that is fresh at the juice bar. Now,
okay. The
other question that you brought up is, all right, well, what's the difference between buying, you know, our Power Shake or our barley juice or our Kamut blend or our More Greens and buying product X, you know, at the health food store?
Right. But
you know, one of these products that has 60 ingredients in it.
Yeah, let me just touch on one quick thing, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Just to wrap up and sum up, fresh wheatgrass that you find in your juice bar or anywhere else you're going to go, any health food store. So you mean to tell me, let me get this straight, ours is not... It's not crossbred or hybrid, right?
Correct.
It's not grown with artificial light or chlorinated water.
Correct.
It's not $3 to $4 a shot. Probably
right.
30 to 40 cents a shot if you did our Kamut, right?
Our Kamut is, I think, 16 cents a serving for the member price.
Right.
Which is a killer deal. I mean, you can't even touch that.
And ours is wild organic.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wanted,
no, I mean, you said, and there's no chance of mold on our roots because it's a well-irrigated field.
Right.
The only time you get mold is when the roots get stuck and they end up rotting.
Yeah.
Then you get mold.
So this is where basically quality meets price.
Right, exactly.
Okay. I just wanted to just, you know, because I
learned
something
myself. That's a good wrap-up. Now, the other thing that's important to keep in mind is that a lot of times when you go into a store and you start looking at different labels, and you'll see a product that'll say wheatgrass powder, or whatever. Okay, a lot of times the labels will say this specifically, but a lot of times they don't, and you won't know until you've looked at the product itself. But I've actually seen some of the so-called powders, and they're grainy. They're a little bit denser. You know, they're a little bit heavier. And people say, oh, well, is this good? But then when you look at the label, the nutrients are pretty low. And you say, well, what's going on here? Well, what's going on is that some companies, in order to increase their profit, remember when we were talking about the jointing stage?
Yes.
Okay. Well, some people choose to allow that plant to get a little bit higher, another 15 or 20%. So in other words, they're cutting off actually some of the cellulose stock and grinding that up into the powder, which is not very nutritious and is nothing but fiber. And
like
so that is a very, I'm not saying that's always the case, but that can happen, especially when you see, and it says cereal grass powder rather than cereal grass juice powder. So like our barley and our kamut are a 33-to-1 extract, which means 33 pounds or 33 ounces of the barley or the kamut produces 1 ounce or 1 pound of the finished product. So, I mean, it's an incredibly concentrated product that still is 100% complete. In other words, nothing's been taken away except the fiber and the water.
Okay.
Yep.
Great.
So that's why it's such a, that, like you said, it's where price meets quality. It's an unbeatable combination that a lot of people say, is this, if it's too good to be true, it can't be true. Well, in this case, it's true.
Right. Got it.
So that's pretty awesome.
That's great. Well, it gives us security and confidence in what we have and a better understanding of one of the, you know, most powerful, I would say, foods in the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Now keep in mind the other thing that's so crucial, Joel, is that we remind people that, you know, you are using a living product. When you use our barley or our kamut blend or our some of our other products, now, like the More Greens has some of this, but some of the other products in there, you know, like it's got rice bran solubles. Okay, well, obviously that's not an enzyme-active product. But the point is any product that contains the barley juice, the kamut, the oat, the alfalfa, that is an enzyme-active product, which means it's the same as eating raw food. And that's crucial because our bodies are just starving for living enzymes in their food.
And by the way, what is the best way to store the green foods? Because that comes up a lot. Should I put it in my refrigerator? I have a hot house? You know,
That's a real good question. And I think the answer is if your house doesn't get over 80 degrees and you can keep it in the coolest part of the house, which is usually near the floor, okay, that usually is going to be fine. If in the summertime you're getting over 95, 100, then you may want to keep it in the freezer, not in the refrigerator. The refrigerator is too moist. But if you keep it in the freezer, this is the important caveat to keep in mind. When you take it out of the freezer, you must wipe the bottle off before you open it because there's going to be condensation on the bottle, and you don't want that condensation or moisture to get inside the bottle when you open it up. So in other words, wipe it off, open it up, take out what you want, put the lid back on, and stick it back in the freezer if you're really dealing with super hot weather.
So you don't want to stir your green drink and then decide you want to add some more green to it and take that same spoon and stick it back into your canister.
Not a good idea. Now, the other thing that comes up a lot, and we might as well say this at this point because it's a good point, we are entering into the summer months, which gets very hot. Especially if you live in Arizona, if you live in Florida, you know, the South. Actually, a lot of places in the Midwest can get unbearably hot. And so people have always asked, okay, what's the effect of if I order some kamut and it sits in a UPS truck for 5 or 6 days going across the country, isn't that going to affect the quality? Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, if those trucks can get up to pretty high temperatures, and that is going to affect the quality. So in the super, there's two ways of looking at this. And here's what a lot of people do on a regular basis. If you know you deal with hot weather all the time and you live more than a day and a half from the Long Beach where it's shipped from, you might want to do one of two things. Either pay for overnight shipping. So,
right.
In other words, you don't have to worry about that. It's going to cost you a little bit more, but at least you are not having to be concerned about the hot truck. That's idea number one. Idea number two is right now, April, May, before it starts getting hot, load up and buy enough of the enzyme-active juice powders to get you through until, like, the end of September.
Right. You can always do that
and
anyway.
That way you don't have to worry about it. And then, you know, each month when you're buying stuff, you know, you can still buy the cherry juice. You can buy, you know, different products that, you know, that aren't affected by the heat as much.
Right. We also want to mention that with the cherry also comes in a lot. Some people forget to refrigerate it after they open it. It has
right.
to
always
go
do
into
that.
The fridge.
Right. Yeah. Any liquid is even the aloe vera. Once you open the aloe vera, it's going to work a lot better. It's going to last a lot longer if you refrigerate it.
The ionic elements too.
That's not as crucial, but that's true. Anything that's liquid, especially if it has energy to it, has the potential of becoming moldy. So you want to definitely, and the cooler you keep the temperature, you know, the more stable. Because see, the thing that you have to realize is mold spores are in the air. And so every time you open something up, there's a potential of mold spores getting into something. Though I'm trying to scare people, but the idea is that the more you guard the quality of these products, because they're so viable, the better use you're going to get out of them. So that's
right.
Why, you know, we definitely recommend, you know, refrigerate any kind of liquid after you open it. And then
okay.
The powders, like I said, it's okay to stick them in the freezer, but make sure you wipe off the condensation before you open them up. And like Joel said, don't put your liquid spoon that you've just licked back in the container. Oh, I think I'll have some more of this.
Same thing with the, importantly, with the coconut oil, with the tropic oil.
Right.
You don't want to get water or moisture into that as well.
No, that's the killer. And it doesn't matter if it's liquid or solid. But if you like it, that's a good question. If you like it, if you don't want it to be liquidy all the time, then you've got to play in and out of the refrigerator, especially in the summer months, because it melts. You know, it melts at about 70 something degrees. So, I mean, that's not too hot.
Right.
We like it when it's sort of creamy and you can just spread it like, you know, mayonnaise. It's
right.
Wonderful like that.
Wonderful. One of my other favorite products.
The coconut oil is great. I Nora and I both do the the oil pulling every single day. You know, we take a teaspoon of the coconut oil,
10 minutes,
stick it in our mouth, swish it around for 20 minutes, and then spit it out. And I mean, the mouth just feels so incredible.
That's great.
Yeah.
Because you always hear about people
who can't talk very well.
Yeah, they use like sesame oil and they use some other oils that are out there, but why not use the coconut oil, which is more powerful, has better life
force? Well, right, you can use any liquid oil that you want, but the reason why coconut oil is an advantage is because it has both antibacterial and antifungal and antiviral properties, and our mouths are full of viruses, bacteria, and funguses that it helps to flush out. In fact, you know, it's a known fact that our mouth is much more toxic than a dog, so you're better off kissing a dog than your own spouse.
I think of a few cases that might just work. But let me ask you this. Since you're on the topic, another hot topic, why don't you just take a minute and explain to the audience who have not yet heard about oil pulling the benefits and just a kind of like in a nutshell, just how they could use our tropic oil for that.
Okay. Well, it's one of my favorite subjects. Now, first thing I can tell you, Joel, anyone who's really interested, I would strongly recommend just go to your favorite search engine, you know, Google, Yahoo, whatever, and just type in oil pulling, O-I-L, and then P-U-L-L-I-N-G.
Okay.
You will be dumbfounded at the number of websites that are offering free information. There's a couple that offer, you know, they're selling books. There's a couple that are selling coconut oil, you know, that are selling sesame oil.
Don't,
but most of them are just free. But
yeah.
You want to use our
oil.
Right. It's a 4,000 – Bruce Fife, by the way, who is considered the authority on coconut oil.
Oh, yeah.
He says that coconut oil is by far the best oil to use for oil pulling because of the antifungal and antibacterial qualities. But
caprylic acid, lauric acid, right.
Exactly. Oil pulling is a 4,000-year-old Ayurvedic health technique.
Okay.
And what's so phenomenal about it, Joel, is the fact that, okay, granted – people who have, you know, gums, bleeding gums, or, you know, bad teeth or whatever, obviously it's going to make sense for someone to do that. But people who do oil pulling on a regular basis, it's helped people get off of insulin if they're diabetic.
Mm.
It's helped people balance out their thyroid. It's, you know, especially with the coconut oil. I mean, it's amazing how, you know, there's a saying that the eyes are the window to the soul.
Right.
Well, the mouth is the window to the physical body.
Right.
So if your mouth is healthy, your whole body is going to respond.
Okay.
But I'll tell you the classic story that got me. I mean, I had heard about oil pulling a long time ago, but, you know, I had played around with it. I tried it, but had never really been that.
Practiced it.
Yeah, I wasn't practicing nearly enough. And so I went to the dentist, and the dentist, you know, decided to, you know, do the old, intimidation technique and convinced me that I need to do this Roto-Rooter deep cleaning, which I'm not opposed to doing. In fact, I'm actually going to go do it. But I ended up remembering a conversation I had with a good friend who is the manager of a health food store up in Northern California, and he's been doing oil pulling for years. And so he sort of renewed my interest again. So I remember that. I said, I'm going to start doing that. And even after doing it for 2 weeks, I noticed that my gums weren't bleeding anymore. I noticed that my teeth were whiter, and so I said, oh, I'm going to keep doing this. This is good. Okay, well, a little after that, I ended up talking to one of our neighbors, and his, I think it's his fiance. She's like 32 years old, and she was told she had to get gum surgery, not just deep cleaning, but she had to get laser surgery where they actually graft skin, you know, because her gums were so bad.
Receding gum.
Yeah, it's nasty. I mean, it's very painful. It takes, you know, weeks and weeks to recover. Yeah. Well, yeah, she travels for business, and so she was going to be away on a six-week business trip. And so she scheduled the first appointment to have the surgery done about 3 days after she got back from the business trip. And the guy said, that's fine. You know, you've lived with us for long enough. Your teeth are probably not going to fall out in 6 weeks, so that's fine. You know, and he gave her some antibiotic stuff to use on her teeth, you know, which, you know, I don't know if she used it or not. But anyhow, so she had heard about the oil pulling. And she said, what the heck? You know, I'm going to try this for 6 weeks. So she did it faithfully 3 times a day while she was away. She did it first thing in the morning. She did it at night before she went to bed. And she was doing it sometime in the middle of the day when she had 20 minutes that was free. She goes back to the oral surgeon after her trip, and she says to the guy, she says, you know, this is my gums don't even hurt anymore. My gums are not bleeding. So I don't know. You know, it seems like I'm doing some different things. And she was doing a couple other things, too. She was taking some... she was using cloves and whatever. But in any event, the oil pulling was the main function. So he looks at her mouth, and he says, well, whatever you're doing, I would keep doing it because I don't think we need to do the surgery right now. And, of course, you know, she was happy. But the thing that was so sad, do you know that that guy did not bother asking her what she had been doing?
Wow. Isn't that
I mean, it's sad. It's so sad that these... Yeah, you know, but
that's
the way it is.
Perfect segue into our next topic, which by chance, talking a little bit about the foundations of health, like talking a little bit maybe about, you know, people just call up or ask you all the time. I see the emails like, what is health, what is disease, and how basically the company fits into that picture.
Right. Well, I think that's, you know, this will probably be sort of as we wrap it up because we're getting we're getting close to the end here. And obviously, the next time we're back, we'll also revisit and sort of put a closing chapter to the cancer thing that we started talking about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I think the ideas of a foundation is where Purium really shines, because no matter what you are doing nutritionally, you know, and there's lots of, I just talked to someone yesterday, and, you know, they were telling me about this phenomenal mushroom they've been taking, and which is outrageously expensive, and someone else's, I can't remember what they were using. But the reality is that there's a lot of decent stuff out there, but most of these things, if not all of them, are not what are called foundations. And your foundation always should be real food that is supplying all the basic nutrients that the body needs. And there's no better way to do that than using some of our core products like the barley juice, like the Kamut blend, like the cherry juice. I mean, this is the core of what we've got. And these are the kinds of products that are offering the human body pretty nearly all the nutrients and cofactors and enzymes that are a good way to keep the body running well. So that's why I call it a foundation of health, because if you don't have a good foundation, it doesn't matter what else you're doing. I mean, for example, Joel and I have a friend that has been, after us for a couple of years now, to buy this machine from Germany that's like $3,500, that apparently it's a pretty good machine. It does a lot of cool things.
Crazy.
If you got $3,500. But the reality is that even with something that sophisticated, that has that ability to balance energy and so on and so forth, without a foundation of good nutrients in the body, it's practically useless to do something like that. It's like putting the finest grade of high-test gas you can in your automobile, and you forgot to put oil in the crankcase.
Right.
It's the same kind of thing. You've got to have a foundation of nutrients that the body recognizes, and the body only really knows about whole foods. Joel, as a last parting topic here, it's crucial that we remind people that, there's so much information coming these days that refute the fact that it's not a good idea to be taking multiple vitamins. Women should not be taking prenatals, they're saying. It's not healthy to be loading up on folic acid. I mean, you're seeing these kind of studies.
Right.
And they're all true, because those studies are all referring to United States pharmacopoeia isolated, chemically produced nutrients. They're not food. The body desperately needs folic acid, and a pregnant woman's best friend is folic acid if it's in the form of food. And what is a better source of folic acid than green juices? Nothing. So, I mean, this is another thing that is really crucial that we as members keep in mind, that when you start to see these incredible things coming out that are really putting down the idea of supplementation, because they are, what they are referring to in every single case are these isolated nutrients. The stuff that you see when you walk into a health food store, a drug store, a Walmart, wherever, and you see these bottles that say vitamin C, vitamin E, and then you look on the side of the label and it says D-alpha tocopherol or DL-alpha tocopherol, which is totally synthetic. And you look on the vitamin C and it says ascorbic acid as vitamin C. It's not food. It's a chemical that's been produced in the laboratory. And those are the nutrients, quote-unquote nutrients, that are being condemned as being harmful. And so we don't play with those things. And you don't have to worry. You'll never get something like that from PHP.
That's just great, Michael. That's just great, because now people could understand the truth.
Exactly. And it's, the truth is simple, Truth is simple. Lies are pretty complicated.
Exactly. We're just about at the end. Let's go ahead and say goodnight and say goodbye.
Goodbye, Chet. Good night, David.
Right. Be well, be happy, be safe.
And
go
we'll
curious.
See you in 2 weeks, because like Joel reminded, next week is the first call of the month, which is with Dave and Amy, and I think they're going to be, I better not say, because I'm not positive what they're going to be talking about, but it's always interesting, so
yeah,
hope you'll tune
I'm
in.
Looking forward to it.
And we'll see you folks on May the 12th, I think. Isn't that right, Joel?
Sounds good.
May 12th.
Have a great night.
Be well, and stay happy,
and
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.